I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And welcome to the Second Tier Podcast. I'm Ryan Dilks, and I'm joined by the Mel Morris to my David Clowes. It's Justin Peach.
Good day to you, Ryan.
Oh, Justin Peach, here we are, the penultimate weekend of championship action. And I tell you what, I think it was Andy Hinchcliffe on the Sky commentary on the Ipswich v Hull game. He was pointing out what a ridiculous week of championship action we've had. And he's bloody right, isn't he? It's been mental over the past few days.
But that's what I mean. I think at this point in the season, a lot of the teams just take their foot off the pedal. They just go, don't they? They curtail down a steep hill without pressing any brakes. They just go for it. And that's what we needed in the championship. That's what we love the championship for. Let's play football how it should be played, which is just no defence at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not complaining, are you?
I'm buzzing about that opportunity.
Well, there you go then. Stop complaining. Welcome to the number one championship podcast, the Second Tier. Thank you for joining us wherever you are. Yes, a lot has happened at both the top end and bottom end of the table. Of course, we'll talk about a certain game at Loftus Road very shortly, but congratulations to Leicester City, who have officially been promoted. Enzo Maresca had a big old party at his house to celebrate, and it looked very lively indeed. So we'll talk about their promotion very shortly, but we're of course going to talk about the relegation battle, because plenty of developments there as well. And then, of course, we'll finish off with the usual polls and Simon Grayson's Hateful Eight right at the end of the show. But I think there's one place we should kick things off here, Justin Peach. QPR 4, Leeds United 0. Three-word reviews here from Leeds fans. Darren says, absolute garbage. Elliot says, missing in action. Daniel Farkanot says, falling apart again. Theo says, we've bottled it. I will say we had loads more using various different forms of profanity, but we've only got so much time. If we went through all of them, we'd be here all day. Justin, Leeds United's top two hopes left in tatters after this result. A massive game where Leeds really needed to win to keep the pressure on Ipswich over their final games, but Leeds were absolutely awful, weren't they?
Yeah, there's no way of papering over this crack. It was dreadful. They were truly, truly dreadful.
Justin, you're not even papering over a crack at this point. You're trying to stick an A4 piece of paper over a chasm.
Yeah, an A4 piece of paper over a continent splitting in two. It's honestly, it's monumental to go down. I mean, you know, a 1-0 defeat you can sort of excuse, can't you? Because it will showcase, or it will, you know, give you a description of a tight game if you're looking from the outside in. But a 4-0, Leeds were well and truly schooled here. I mean, there's only a way of describing it. They were schooled by a team who've languished in the bottom half of the table all season, who have been fighting relegation all season, who have had Gareth Ainsworth in charge for a period of time this season. More on him at some point over the description of QPR. But honestly, yeah, this was poor. You know, Leeds failed to turn up in that first 20 minutes. QPR took advantage, and from there on, they just managed the game. And to be in that scenario as a team chasing the top two is dreadful, really. It's dreadful.
Yeah, well, what we've seen a lot with Leeds recently is them being flat, and it's something that's been a regular feature since the last international break, really. But yeah, we had the Middlesbrough game last Monday, which gave us a bit of encouragement heading into this one that maybe they will be able to take this down to the wire. However, they were terrible against QPR, probably the worst performance I've seen from them all season. And it's come at the worst possible time. I mean, don't let that take anything away from QPR. They were excellent, made the most of their opponents being so off it. But Leeds were struggling to string simple passes together. They barely created anything of significance, and they were exposed several times at the back. And you mentioned how QPR have been in the bottom half all season. You wouldn't have guessed which team has been competing for promotional season and which team has spent most of the season in the bottom three. It genuinely was shocking. But at the same time, I think it will go down as one of the most infamous results in Championship history. I mean, think about it. We always remember that Wigan result for against Leeds in 2018-19 when they bottled it under Bielsa. I think this is right up there alongside it, Justin, in terms of infamy.
Almost, it may even almost eclipse it, because Leeds, I wouldn't say that the driving seat in terms of automatics, but a win here would have put Ipswich under a lot of pressure in the context of them dropping points against Hull, would have been absolutely massive. And obviously, when you're going away to a side with like QPR, who are nowhere near the quality Leeds are, and nowhere near the budget Leeds have, and have been languishing down at the bottom of the table all season. Yeah, to go away and come away with a 4-0 defeat is quite staggeringly, bottly, dreadfully. I'm trying to... It's everything. It's just, it encompasses everything about what's... Not, I wouldn't say what's bad about Leeds, but the bottling nature of Leeds or the falling apart nature of Leeds. It encompasses everything, because this is like typecast title here of Leeds doing a bottle here. It's incredible. As I say, a 4-0 defeat... is that's what sums it up, really. That's the poorness of it, the appallingness of it, I should say.
Yeah. Well, it was so bad that reports say Leeds' players were kept for several hours at their Thorpe Arch training ground as Daniel Farke led an inquest into what went wrong after this one. And this is where it leaves them as things stand. They're still second, level on points with Ipswich, but they have a game in hand against Coventry on Tuesday. Ipswich just need 4 points from their final two games to secure promotion. So Leeds really need Coventry to do them a favour on Tuesday, but we're talking about a Coventry side who have only got 1 point from their last four, and then Ipswich have got Huddersfield at home on the final day, and they're virtually down now. So, I mean, also not to mention they're Leeds' big rivals, so I'm not sure you can rely on them too much for big favours. But unsurprisingly, Leeds fans are very unhappy after this result. Many of them are blaming Daniel Farke. I've seen many saying he's failed as Leeds manager. What do you think, Justin? If Leeds fail to finish in the top two, has Daniel Farke failed?
I struggle to really pin a 4-0 defeat away from home on Daniel Farke, because he's not the one out there on the pitch. They would have had a game plan. They would have had a style of play. So I think it's really harsh to pin the frustration at Daniel Farke. That being said, if Leeds do fail to finish in the top two, I would say Farke has failed and Leeds have failed. From my perspective, I hold Daniel Farke in a very high regard, and this is an incredibly talented team that has fallen at the most important hurdle, which is the business end of the season. They have really faltered since that international break, haven't they? They've managed through a lot this season, and they've accrued a lot amount of points. 90 points so far this season is an incredible amount, and will win you the title in some campaigns. But it doesn't matter how many points you earn in the moment, you just need to make sure it's more than 22 other teams in the division. Right now, it's not looking likely to be the case come this time next week.
It's interesting you say that, Justin, because I think I would actually disagree with you. I don't think he has failed. Yes, I know Leeds' squad is very strong, but if Leeds don't finish in the top two, they'll become the first team in Championship history to get 90 points or more and not go up automatically. I think they've just been simply pipped to the line by two very strong sides, because all three of them deserve to go up automatically, but only two of them can do it ultimately. It's as simple as that. However, I also don't think that means Daniel Farke should be immune from criticism, because they've gone from only conceding 3 goals in 13 at the start of 2024 to conceding 13 goals in 7. And it's also worth mentioning Leeds have done the league double over both Leicester and Ipswich this season, which is remarkable. But they failed to do it against Rotherham, Huddersfield, Birmingham, Sheffield Wednesday, Blackburn, Stoke and QPR. So, look, it's all well and good turning up in these big games, like Leeds undoubtedly have this season, but they've dropped so many daft points, and ultimately you win just as many points from a league double against Rotherham as you do from a league double against Leicester. You know, they're the games where... They're the games that win you promotion, ultimately. So I don't think he's failed as Leeds manager, but they're just some of the things which have let him down for me, Justin. What do you think?
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I think it's a mindset thing. I think for me, if you want to get promotion, you need to be better than 22 other teams in the division. If you don't, you've ultimately failed. And I think with Leeds' budget quality of player and Daniel Farke's experience. I think if they don't finish in the top two come next Sunday, I think it has been a failure. That being said, if promotion's the goal when they go via the playoffs, doesn't matter because promotion's the goal. But it adds an incredible amount of pressure onto the next few weeks if that's going to be the case. But I think, yeah, when you contextualise everything that he's had to deal with, i.e. a lot of players leaving last summer, big turnover of squad, having to replace several key players, Joel Pirro coming in, Ethan Ampadu coming in, you know, big buys coming in and having to do a job. He had to deal with a lot, but Enzo Maresca's done exactly the same thing and he's managed to deliver promotion despite being a bold fraud.
You've completely made me forget what point I was going to make now. I get what you're saying. I don't think he's had the same circumstances as Enzo Maresca. I think Enzo Maresca has had a pretty decent position to be in. You've got to remember, Leeds basically lost half a squad last summer. Yeah. So he had to deal with that. So I don't think he has failed. I think that's harsh to say, in my opinion, even though I imagine plenty of Leeds fans will say he has failed. I also don't think Leeds have bottled it either, just in case there's any suggestion of that from other supporters, which I'm sure there will be. I think, you know, failing to go up after having a 17-point lead, that would be bottling it. Just simply being beaten by two better teams isn't a bottling, in my opinion. They've just been pipped to the line, ultimately. Well, three-word reviews here from QPR fans. Andrew says, Marty is king. Newt says, season-defining performance. Nick says, we're staying up. And QPR are officially safe after this result. They just needed a point to make things secure. And they've done it. And what a job Justin Marty Sifuentes has done. Think back to when he was first appointed. The fact that they are now safe with a game to go is pretty remarkable, isn't it?
It is remarkable. It is remarkable. And dare I bring up your scepticism of Marty being appointed? Is it worth?
I mean, I did mention
swinging that,
that
back around.
I've mentioned that plenty of times recently.
I know, but QPR fans need to hear it. They need to hear it. That's all I'm saying. But you are right. It is nothing short of incredible what old Marty has achieved, because his side going into the summer last summer, the way it was recruited and put together poorly by Gareth Ainsworth, in his vision, his style of play wasn't impactful enough at this level. Marty Sifuentes had to deal with so much. He's had to sweep up so much and then almost sort of rebuild in the space of a few months. So to be able to do that, I think is incredible. And as well as that, you know, he's come in, he's dropped his Catalan influence on this team. And tactically, I think the way they've been switched on and play to their strengths, which is that defensive, you know, I mean, Gareth Ainsworth's vision of defensive solidity was there, but Marty Sifuentes' execution was so much better than Gazza's was. So, yeah, I think he's got an incredibly bright future in management. He's going to be of a lot of interest come the summer because of how well he's done. But if QPR give him some licence to go out and sign players that I think will really get more out of his style of play, I think QPR can look forward to a bright future as well.
Yeah, well, I think Sifuentes has been linked with Sunderland recently. So, yeah, I imagine they won't be the only club sniffing around the Marty party. But, yeah, I will admit, Justin, I was sceptical when they got Sifuentes in. I think the reason for that is, you know, these kind of appointments where it's an unknown foreign manager, it often goes one of two ways. And
Brighton writer.
I was going to say, Andre Breitenreiter is a perfect example of how wrong it can go. And I thought it was risky for QPR to be, you know, getting in an unknown manager, considering the position they were in at the time. But look, the difference between them under Sifuentes and when Gareth Ainsworth was in charge is just simply night and day, particularly at the back where they've been so difficult to break down. And then any lingering concerns I've had about their chances of staying up has been down to their inability to score goals. But, you know, scoring four goals against Leeds is a great way to make people forget about those issues. But it is something they'll undoubtedly need to improve on next season. But look, ultimately, since Sifuentes was appointed, they've won the 10th most points in the Championship. Now, think back to how shit they were under Gareth Ainsworth. You know, turning things around after that silly goth takes some doing, and he's done that and how. So fair play to him. A remarkable job. Well, Leeds' loss meant Ipswich needed 5 points from their final three games to secure promotion, and they got one of them away at Hull in a 3-3 draw on Saturday night. Three-word reviews here from Ipswich fans. James says, bye, Hutchinson now. Daniel says, Amari's left peg. Ryan says, 1 point closer. Mauricio says, in our hands. And as we were saying at the top of the show, Justin, a great game, an excellent Saturday night serving of championship action that we got put on our plates.
Yeah, it's the ideal pre-drinks to a Saturday night out, no? I think if you were going to, you know, you get sort of, it's just a pulsating end-to-end game. You know, it gets your heart rate up and you have a few Jager bombs alongside it. It's going to be a good one. But aside from going out on Saturday night, which I didn't do, I stayed in and watched this, as every championship fan should, it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. Honestly, if anything summed up Ipswich more, it was this game. And I think the most staggering thing about it, actually, is Kieran McKenna showing a little bit of vulnerability, not only in Ipswich's style of play, but also showing his emotion on the sideline by putting his fist through a plastic plexiglass thing on the dugout when Hull equalised. I think it was the third equaliser.
He didn't put it through it, but he was hitting it.
It looked like it did.
I don't think he put it through, but he was very angry, wasn't he?
I'm trying to big McKenna up here, and you're taking it back. I think it was just a staggering game. And as I say, showed a lot of vulnerability there for Ipswich, which was the key takeaway from that game for me.
Yeah, and I'm going to dip into the old big bag of cliches, Justin. Great advert for the championship, wasn't it?
It
was just a great back and forth game between two sides who play some lovely football. Thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyable. The most enjoyable bit of all was Amari Hutchinson's first goal. That was an absolute stunner. You won't see many better struck shots than that this season. And it was so good, it made it all the more surprising that no Hull player decided to close him down for a second goal from almost exactly the same position. But you know what? He was sensational on Saturday night. And good to see George Hurst back in playing after missing 4 months through injury as well. Took his goal well. And to be fair to Hull, they did get a bit of fortune with the third goal where Vaclav Kladky parried a shot to the worst possible place on the pitch. I don't know why he didn't just catch it. But Ipswich will be disappointed that they didn't get the win here, considering they were leading three times and were also leading so late on. But you look at it, in hindsight, a draw is okay, isn't it, after Leeds' loss?
They will. I think in the context of the three games in the lead-up to the whole game, if you're going to drop points to the three teams that you've got coming up in Coventry, Huddersfield or Hull, it's more likely going to be Hull because they're the team that are in form chasing the top six. Coventry have dropped out of form and Huddersfield are pretty shit. So I think, if you're going to drop points against any of those teams, it's more likely to be Hull. I think in the manner of which they did drop points, i.e. throwing a lead away three times, that's the bitter pill that needs to be swallowed. The worrying thing for me is Ipswich have a lot of bad habits that they've never been able to get rid of. And it's now a time of the season where those bad habits, if they come through and they're there and they exist in the next couple of games, they're gonna throw away goals, they're gonna throw away leads, as they did against Hull three times. I think that's the only disappointing thing for me. They're in an okay position. Could have been better if they just held their nerve.
I still think they're in a pretty, pretty good position as things stand, just in considering they just need to avoid defeat against Coventry, and then they've got, you know, an already relegated Huddersfield Town on the final day at home.
They're winless in four. They've drawn the last three games, which by all means could see them over the line. But at the same time, if they draw the next two games, 92 points and Leeds beat Southampton on the final day.
Yeah. But whatever the case, it means that there is now a lot of pressure on that Coventry game on Tuesday night. I mean, it was a big game, whatever happened, wasn't it? But now Ipswich will be looking at that and thinking, we need to get a win here. And of course, Kieran McKenna will be hoping for a win. There's no doubt about that. A draw would still be a pretty good result. But look, they've got to make the most of it because Coventry are bang out of form right now, aren't they? It's just 1 point in four games for them. So they've got a great chance of getting all 3 points there. Now it's all about how they play their hand, isn't it? If they keep their nerve and play they have been doing all season, they'll be a Premier League side next season, Justin. As long as they don't lose on Tuesday, which is the big thing. They cannot lose on Tuesday. And if that doesn't happen, then they don't have to worry about what Leeds are doing. So they're nearly there, or Ipswich. This point takes them a step closer. The Ipswich are going up tractor has nearly reached its destination, and everyone on board is giving their middle finger to Justin Peach in the distance. Hull City Oz has sent in a three-word review. Dream is still alive. A quick word on Hull, Justin, because they've managed to keep alive their top six hopes with that late equaliser against Ipswich. If they didn't get it, then that would have been it, because West Brom have a much better goal difference. But they head into the final day needing a win away at Plymouth, while also hoping West Brom lose at home to Preston. So it's a chance, and that's exactly what Liam Mazzini would have taken into the final day, wouldn't he?
Yeah, do you know what? I think it's in the context of, not in context, but how the season's leveling out now, I think even if he'll miss out on the top six, I would still argue that maybe it has been a better season than what we were saying a couple of weeks ago when Hull looked like they were not going to get into the top six. West Brom have given him a chance, and what Hull are doing is seizing that opportunity by chipping away at results. They're in a really good run of form, and I think the frustrating thing is maybe if the season was 47 games rather than 46, I think Hull would get in there. But it's just about whether or not West Brom can stave off Preston. Preston being, lost the last three games, since their playoff ambitions were squashed, they've really sort of dropped off. But naturally, foot goes off the pedal a little bit, and that might play into West Brom's hands, where Plymouth are a different opposition in the sense that they're trying to stay up in the division on the final day. So, it's such an intriguing encounter. But I think the position that Hull have put themselves in now is a really, really good one, a really favourable one as well. And some of the stuff they played yesterday against Ipswich was fantastic.
Yeah, well, let's be honest, Hull shouldn't have this opportunity, but they do because West Brom have completely lost their heads. But they deserve credit for still going, and they have got a chance heading into the final day. Away at Plymouth is a tricky game, and even if they get the win, they still need Preston to do them a favour. But look, we've seen crazier things happen on the final day, much crazier things. So it's entirely possible, and Liam Mazzini would have taken that a few weeks ago, wouldn't he? Well, Leeds' loss meant Leicester City were promoted this weekend, and they didn't even have to play. So well done to them. They got there in the end. It means they just need one win from their final two games to win the title, although two draws will be enough. They're playing Preston on Monday night. So now that they're guaranteed to be there next season, Justin, how do you think Leicester will do back in the Premier League?
Oh, that's an interesting one. It's very 2016 of them to get promoted or to achieve something without actually playing. Obviously, they won the title, Premier League title, didn't they? Without actually playing. So,
it must be quite frustrating for them that two of their big achievements from the past 10 years, they didn't have to play do it. They had to watch it on a TV screen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, luckily they had the FA Cup final to savour on the day, but it's pretty impossible to win the FA Cup without playing. But yeah, in terms of going into the Premier League, hard to say, really. I'm still a Maresca sceptic, and I think dropping a 17-point lead has done nothing to alleviate that scepticism. He has delivered promotion, but again, if you're not delivering promotion with the talent this team has, you shouldn't be managing at any level. I think quite a few managers would have fancied their chances with this Leicester side, and Maresca's done it. Fair play to him, but I think his style of play makes me nervous. His style of play really makes me nervous. His stubbornness makes me really nervous as well. We've seen Daniel Farker and Norwich struggle, persisting with one style of play. Vincent Kompany and Burnley have struggled this season, albeit they do have a chance of staying in the Premier League. But given that Leicester's budget will still be a high one in the Premier League next season, you don't want to just be struggling to stay in the Premier League. You want to be a bona fide lower mid-table, mid-tabler. All it does is tell me that they need to adapt. Brentford have done it under Thomas Frank. They went from a free-flowing side to a rigid defensive side. Is Maresca capable of that? We've not seen that this season.
Yeah, well, I think I agree with you, Justin. I'm sure we'll get accused of an anti-Leicester bias here, but I think they'll struggle in the Premier League. I mean, first of all, there's the strong possibility of a points deduction, which obviously isn't a great start. Then there is just so much uncertainty heading into next season with regards to transfers. I mean, the big question is, how long will this transfer embargo last? Who really knows at this stage? But if it lasts all summer, then that's going to absolutely kneecap them. But even if it is lifted at some point, Leicester's recruitment this season has been pretty poor, in my view, considering how much money they spent. So that doesn't provide me with much encouragement. And then you've got to ask, will the likes of Kieran Dewsbury-Hall, Wilfred Ndidi stick around? I'm sure there's plenty of others as well who may be heading out the door. I'm not too sure at the moment, but you have also got to question Enzo Maresca, Justin. You're absolutely right. As soon as he's faced with some sort of adversity in the Championship, they've really struggled. And if you think you're going to face adversity in the Championship, just wait until you get to the Premier League. So will he be able to adapt his tactics for a relegation scrap? That's the question, isn't it? Yeah. It's a big summer ahead for Leicester, even though they have done well to secure promotion in the end. A completely bizarre stat for you, Justin. The team who Huddersfield have played at home in the last four seasons has gone on to win the title. And that looks like it's going to include Leicester this season, which is mental. isn't it? Of course, yeah. Huddersfield are now pretty much down, so unfortunately we won't see that trend continue. But just a bonkers stat, which really blew my mind.
I was going to say, can you imagine if they did stay up and they got Plymouth next season? The Plymouth fans would be rubbing their hands.
Everyone would, wouldn't they? Whoever comes up, whoever they get.
Any team.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been incredible. It would have been incredible just to see, I don't know, Plymouth or anyone of a, I'm just trying to say, a team with a small budget.
Yeah.
Who should really be going to, for the title.
That's right, mate.
It would have been funny.
I get you. Huddersfield probably going out the division, which we'll discuss very shortly. But one team coming into the division is Derby County. Congratulations to the Rams, who have been promoted back to the Championship. They've finished second in League One after beating Carlisle 2-0 on Saturday. We've got a very happy Justin Peach here on the second tier today. And it's got to be said, Justin... And you know what? Maybe our allegiances make this easy to forget. But considering Derby's position, when they got relegated 2 years ago, it's genuinely remarkable that they're back in the Championship in such a short period of time, isn't it?
I know you want me to say yes, but I don't think it's that remarkable.
Oh, come on, Justin. I don't. You went out of business 2 years ago. Now, Justin, what this is your pessimism about Derby coming out here. Just for once, acknowledge that this is a wonderful achievement, for God's sake.
No. It's a wonderful achievement, but I don't think it's that big of a surprise to see a club the size of Derby with the budget that they've got, the attendances that they get, come straight up after 2 years. If they'd done it last season, I'd have been like, whoa, they bounced back.
Derby, massive club, admittedly. But think about, Sunderland spent 3 years in League One. Sheffield Wednesday spent a long time in League One. I mean, bloody Portsmouth have been down there for way too long.
Yeah.
And then for Derby to come back so soon after nearly being on the, the edge of oblivion. Come on now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good achievement. I don't think it's remarkable. That's all. That's all I'm saying. I don't think they've defied the odds to get back into the Championship. They've delivered what should be expected of a club of that size to do. Sunderland didn't deliver. Sheffield United didn't deliver when they went down and spent years down there. But as I say, I think David Clowes deserves a lot of credit for rescuing the club and funding the club and building. Building the club back up, essentially, but there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. A hell of a lot. There's going to be a lot of players out of contract this summer, a lot of older players as well. The club, the squad needs a refresh, and there's an almighty amount of work. But for them to achieve coming back up after 2 years is good. It's great. It's fantastic. I know people want me to be buzzing, but I know the Championship very, very well now, and it's got me a little bit scared.
This man cannot be positive about his own team. It's just very clear, isn't it? Well, Justin, the big question is, how do we think Derby County will do next season? Because you're right, it's a tough task, isn't it, staying up in the Championship? I think we were alluding to it when Portsmouth were promoted. This is a pretty poor League One compared to previous incarnations. And we've seen a lot of League One this season. We can vow for that. A prime example of how poor it is that Derby were apparently the second best team in the league, because they haven't been amazing at all from what I've seen this season. But look, first and foremost, I'm not sure we've had many clubs get promoted in recent years where a fan base has been as unconvinced by their manager as Derby fans have been in Paul Warne. He was nearly sacked around autumn time, and his football is by no means pleasing on the eye. I'm not sure his rating amongst Derby fans is going to improve next season when you remember that the long and short of it is his Championship record is absolutely appalling. 3 seasons in the second tier and 3 relegations. So I'll be surprised if he lasts the whole season, if I'm honest, because I don't think he's the most popular Derby manager in recent years, despite getting them back into the Championship.
Yeah.
And then the squad itself, it's not one that's chock full of quality, it's got to be said. I mean, I rate Aaron Cashin very highly. I think he's a top quality young defender. But aside from him, I'd say the average quality of this squad isn't great. So what I'm saying is Derby will have to recruit well this summer. And look, their recruitment's been very mixed, to say the least, while they've been in League One. So they have a tendency to sign players who are seasoned, to put it politely. So there's a lot of work to do over the next few months. But my early thinking is they should be happy just to stay up next season. Do you agree, Justin?
Absolutely, I do agree. Well, I think what's incredible here is you built the promotion up and now you're bringing it back down.
I started low
and I'm bringing it up because I'm a little bit more optimistic for Derby next season.
Okay, right.
I'm a little bit more optimistic.
My thing is, the promotion, considering where Derby were 2 years ago, unbelievable turnaround. But I think you've got to be realistic and say it's going to be a struggle next season. Why do you think it won't be?
Well, Derby had the best defensive record in League One last season, which probably why it was a little bit boring at times to watch them, is because they were so focused on keeping clean sheets and keeping opposition at bay rather than tapping into some of the quality that they did have, albeit limited quality, I do think. And I think that football is going to suit playing in a championship, suit being an underdog more than it is in League One when teams are going to sit back against Derby because they're just a big club. They want the scalp of beating a big club. So actually, I do think that defensive quality is going to be on show next season. That organisation is going to be on show. They're going to be a very difficult side to break down and beat. That being said, they need so much more attacking quality because I don't think a team can stay in the championship who have Nathaniel Mendes-Lang, Connor Washington, James Collins if he signs a new deal. I don't think a team can stay up with that sort of strike force. So they are going to need to recruit in that area. But I think defensively, I think they can match a lot of teams.
Don't forget old Dwighty G, Justin. Dwight Gale, he's hanging around still. I do agree with you. They need to sign definitely next in the summer, and they need to sign quite extensively, and it needs to be better than what we've seen in League One. Sheffield United now officially joining us in the Championship next season as well. It's after they were relegated from the Premier League. We spoke about their chances next season not too long ago. Points deduction, players out of contract, ageing squad, manager who seems to have lost his touch, owner who wants to sell the squad. Yeah, quite a few problems there, but we'll talk more about them in due course. And of course, the other team coming into the Championship next season is Portsmouth. We've already spoken about them. But during their League One title celebrations, it's been revealed that two fans spread human ashes onto the pitch. It damaged the surface and meant the ground staff had to make emergency repairs. What on earth have I just read out, Justin?
It's incredible. I read this and I had a bit of a science lesson. I think it's calcium carbonate within human ashes. Mm. Kills grass. I thought it was fertile. I thought it helped the grass. Yeah. It didn't. But, you know, what an opportunity to go out and, you know, pay respects to your loved ones, albeit on a pitch invasion, albeit almost killing the Fratton Park pitch. But it was a nice moment for them. So they'll take that away. Yeah. Let's not take that away.
Yeah, well, you're right, Justin. Justin, let's take a quick break. After that, we'll talk about the relegation battle in the Championship.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Welcome back to the Second Tier podcast, and it's now time for us to check out how our Second Tier multiple with SBK got on, which included our game of the week as well as just a nice two bankers from Friday. We had Ipswich, Millwall and Leeds all to win. So no luck, unfortunately, but we'll be back with one final multiple of the season in this coming Friday's preview show with SBK. Justin, it's got to happen. I'm telling you now, it's got to happen. And since it's the final day of the season, Justin, it's upon us. We want to hear from you, the listener. Let us know, listener, your fondest and or worst memories from the final day of the season while supporting your club. And we'll read out some of the best ones on the podcast this coming week. You can either email us at secondtierpod@gmail.com or by DMing us on X/Twitter. And we look forward to hearing your fantastic tales from final days of years gone by. I'm sure there have been some great ones, which the wider public needs to hear. Well, one team is not going to have much drama on the final day of the season is Huddersfield Town. That's because they're all but down now. It's after they could only draw 1-1 with Birmingham. Sheffield Wednesday winning meant Huddersfield had to win this to stand any realistic chance of staying up, because now the only team they can mathematically catch is Plymouth, who have a much superior goal difference than them. So even though it's not official, we won't be seeing Huddersfield again next season, Justin. So the question is, where's it all gone wrong for Huddersfield this season, Justin?
15 goal swing, not going to rule it out. You know me, I like to sit on the positive side.
You did this joke multiple times over the past few weeks, and it's still not funny now.
No, it's fine. I'm just consistent in my optimism. But where's it all gone wrong for Huddersfield? I laugh almost nervously, because we don't have enough time to go through where it's all gone wrong for Huddersfield. I mean, let's just go back to the summer. I think Neil Warnock leaving is a big thing. That feels like so long ago, by the way, that he left Huddersfield.
It does, doesn't it?
And you know, it was two managers ago, for goodness sake, which is a good time frame for Huddersfield. It's
technically three, if you count John Worthington, the caretaker.
Yeah, exactly. Three managers ago. It's incredible. I mean, again, I know the new ownership, I don't want to criticise them too much, because they were, you know, the timing of the takeover last summer would have impacted transfers. I know there was a bit of, an issue, but they were trying to work around FFP and profit and sustainability, I should say, in terms of recruiting new players. So that was all going to be rushed. And that's probably a big reason why Neil Warnock was frustrated, and that's why he left. But a quiet summer that needed strength adding to it into the squad and depth didn't happen. So they were left with more or less the same squad as last season, which stayed up comfortably because of Neil Warnock, but should have gone down. And as well as that, it's been a slippery slope since Carlos Corberan left, maybe even before that, with the ownership trouble under Phil Hodgkinson and Dean Hoyle. It just feels like it's been inevitable for a while. The writing's been on the wall for Huddersfield, and we're now at this point where it's done. It's finally done.
Yeah, well, it's all a bit embarrassing for the new owner, isn't it? Because Kevin Nagel took over the club in June last year, and in his first statement, he said he does not intend to let the supporters down. Yeah. Well then, because you're right, Justin, what's happened since then is a shambolic summer transfer window where they only signed four players, one of whom was a backup goalkeeper. Then Neil Warnock left because he wasn't happy about that. They got in Darren Moore, who was sacked just as he was getting a bit of momentum, and also after they signed a load of new players in January. He didn't get any chance to work with those players. Hence why I was not too impressed by that decision. And then they got an Andre Breitenreiter, who's only won two games in 12. And the big thing for me this season is the squad, because, I mean, you go back to listen to our pre-season predictions. We've been saying it all season, and even before it started, this squad is not good enough. Only signing four players last summer was pathetic. And then the players they got in January have had barely any impact. So it's been a shambles of a season, and I think you've got to point the fingers at those at the top, because ultimately they're the ones who are running the club. They're the ones who have gone through 3/4 managers this season, and the recruitment under them has been pretty, pretty poor.
Do you not want to give them a little bit of slack because of what they took over?
No. simply put, no.
You just don't like Kevin Nagel's ego or his mustache. That's what
I don't like that either, Justin. Maybe not the mustache. I'll let him off for the mustache. But I mean, you're right. The funny thing is, this is an owner who likes to talk a lot on Twitter, a lot. And he would release vlogs and put out tweets, essentially pandering to the fans, like saying, oh, this isn't good enough. And all of a sudden, he's gone awfully quiet in the last couple of months. And if you're going to be a football owner who's tweeting a lot, you better know what you're doing when you're running a football club. And
that's true.
I don't think he does. I think he's completely underestimated the project that Huddersfield needed, and that's why they're going to be in League One next season.
Yeah, it's better to be clueless and quiet than clueless and loud.
If you're going to be clueless, then yeah, don't start gobbing off on Twitter all the time. well, question is, Justin, do you fancy Huddersfield to bounce back next season? Yes or no?
I do. Quite frankly, I do. I think they've got a squad capable of bouncing back. I know I've said it's not good enough for the Championship, but I certainly think it, you know, with the right additions in the summer, it could be good enough to come back from League One. Whether or not players stay is another question. I imagine Sauber Thomas, Michael Helic, players like that will attract interest. But I think the main thing for Huddersfield is just getting the fans to fall back in love with the club again. Because since that Premier League season, they've not had many opportunities to do it. I know they had the Corberan year where he took them to the playoffs, but there's been more bad times than there have been good times. So I think being quiet on social media from the owner and just putting a club in place that the fans are going to love, I think, is a really important thing while vying for promotion next season. So, yeah, I think the squad's capable of doing it with the right additions. But just, yeah, priorities getting those fans back on board.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm as optimistic as you, Justin. I think this Huddersfield squad isn't great, but the small amounts of talent that is in there, I can see the vultures circling around already. I'd be very surprised if they kept Jack Rodoni, Sorba Thomas, Mikael Helic, perhaps a couple of others as well. And, you know, there aren't many quality championship players left over in that squad. That's true. I think you need some championship quality in a League One team if you want to get promoted. So, you know, there would have to be a fair bit of recruitment done, but based off their recent track record, where's the evidence that that's going to be good enough? And then, I mean, as far as the manager's concerned, I don't know whether it's a good thing or not if he sticks around. I genuinely don't know what to make of Andre Breitenreiter, because we're talking about a guy here who was managing in the Bundesliga 14 months ago. So he's clearly no dope, but at the same time, he's not improved Huddersfield at all. Mm. And he's known for having a great record of working with very little resource in Germany. So that's good. But maybe English football just isn't for him, because there have been plenty of managers with good records abroad who have come here and then struggled. Maybe he's the same. So I don't have much confidence in them bouncing back. I think a lot of work is needed in the summer in many different aspects at the club. And it could be a bit too much for them to bounce back at the first time of asking, I'm afraid. So will one club be joining Huddersfield next season in League One? Be Birmingham City. They head into the final day in the bottom three. 1 point behind Plymouth, 3 points behind both Sheffield Wednesday and Blackburn. In hindsight, this draw against Huddersfield, it's not the end of the world, but it's also not great, is it?
Yeah, they ideally would have taken the win, wouldn't they? And I think the nature of how the game went, because it was an end-to-end game. It was quite chaotic at times, and that's probably, you know, Huddersfield's desperation pushing that sort of that the element of the game to pushing it that way. And I think Birmingham didn't really seize or get involved in that chaos. They didn't really embrace it. They sort of, you know, it was all a bit Gary Rowett. And I think sometimes they needed to just embrace it a little bit, and they may have come away with a result. But I think in terms of it being a missed opportunity, it's a massively missed opportunity, because they're going up against a team that are, you know, quite poor, and you know, Birmingham aren't great themselves. But being 1-0 up, you know, conceding straight after half time, just wasn't ideal for Birmingham. And as I say, they're going into that final day a bit bruised, which isn't ideal.
Yeah, well, when you consider Birmingham's last two games have been against Rotherham and Huddersfield, you know, the literal bottom two now, and they failed to win either of them, it feels like a real missed opportunity. And now they're in a position where they simply have to win at home to Norwich on the final day. Now, on paper, it looks bad, but there are reasons to be encouraged, because firstly, their goal difference is much superior to Sheffield Wednesday, so a win for Birmingham and a loss for Wednesday will do it. Blackburn have the same goal difference as Birmingham, so if Birmingham win and Blackburn lose, that'll be enough too. And then another thing is they are a much better side at home than they are away. It's the 11th best home record in the league, and Gary Rowett's won the two games that he's won from his seven games in charge. Both those wins were at home. And then Norwich's away form is really poor. Only the bottom five have picked up fewer points than them on the road this season. So there are small signs, small reasons why they should be encouraged heading into the final day. But at the same time, it's also looking bleak. So it's a fine balance. The final thing that we have to remember here is it is at home. So the chairman, Tom Wagner, will be there, and he'll be giving it the old, "This is our house. This is our house.
This is
let's
our
go.
House.
Let's go to Sheffield Wednesday, Justin. They took one huge step closer to survival. It's after thrashing West Brom 3-0. Three-word review here from Wednesday fans. Tom says, "Peachy knows ball." That's after Justin Peach Wednesday as his outsider in the previous show on Friday. Fist pump from Justin. Reviews here from Albion fans. Absolutely shat it. I didn't write down that person's name, but you get the point. I apologise for that. Sheffield Wednesday absolutely battered West Brom here, considering one of these teams has been in the relegation zone virtually all season, while the other has been in the top six for most of the season. You wouldn't have guessed which one it was, would you? But look, this is probably the peak of their recent form. Anthony Masuaba was electric for Wednesday, but they also defended really well too. Just an excellent performance from them, and it leaves them in a really promising position. So this is how it is. It means they just have to avoid defeat on the final day to secure safety. And bears repeating. What a ridiculous job Danny Rule has done. To be 1 point away from safety is absolutely mad at this stage in the season. But, you know, it's not all said and done yet, is it, Justin? They've still got the work to do. Having said that, if you had to choose a team to be facing on the final day without picking a side in the bottom three, Sunderland might be a pretty popular pick, and that's exactly who they have got on the final day. So they're in an excellent position, aren't they? And you'd even say for once, the odds are actually in their favour to stay up.
They might actually be a favourite for a game for a change, which would be an incredible achievement. I think the only thing that would make me a little bit worried is the fact that it's an away game and their away record is poor. But the big positive for Wednesday is they've won the last two games away from Hillsborough. They've done the business at Hillsborough, which has taken that pressure off them a little bit. They can go to Sunderland, obviously, with the determination to win. They've got the fight in them and the scrap, and you're coming up against a team who, down tools, probably when Tony Mowbray left, to be honest with you. That's a nice position to be in. So I think that really does enhance their promotion hopes. And wow.
Yeah, let's not get carried away.
Their survival hopes. And I think to do West Brom, a core brand team, beat them 3-0 and do it so convincingly, I think that's only going to serve their confidence even more. Because I think if you beat a core brand team 3-0, for me, it would feel like you could beat any team in the division after that. Because it's so hard to break down, and they did it with these.
Yeah, well, the only real worry for Wednesday on the final day is their goal difference, which wasn't helped despite beating West Brom so convincingly. Goal difference is much worse than Birmingham or Plymouth, but ultimately, survival is in their hands. 1 point, that's it. They're safe. And considering they're unbeaten in five, the omens are good. So it's a really, really promising position for Sheffield Wednesday. There was a strange video on Twitter involving the owner, Depon Chansiri, after the game. A young fan is filming a video in front of him and he's very quietly singing Depon Chansiri, get out of our club. Chansiri then pushes him in the back of the head. You know, just a subtle reminder that as well as Wednesday are doing on the pitch, there's still a basket case behind the scenes as long as Chansiri is there. But, you know, that's just how it is with Sheffield Wednesday in recent years. Justin, what on earth is happening to West Brom? Three losses on the bounce now. The first time they've done that since October 2022. They've only won one from their last seven. They are having their worst run of form of the season at the worst possible time, aren't they?
Yeah, and they've dropped points against some pretty suspect teams. I mean, if you go back to the Watford game, maybe not less, yeah, probably less so suspect because Tom Clavey's done a wonderful job there since he's been in interim charge and now full time. You know, dropping points to Stoke, not ideal because they're not a very good side. Albeit they have picked up form, losing to Sunderland as well at home. Yeah, there's been some eyebrow raising results, and again, like, you're coming out of form or dropping form at the worst time possible. Not only can West Brom drop out of the top six on the final day, should results go against them, but they can also, if they do get into the top six, they've fallen into them, really, haven't they? After being so convincingly sat in fifth for so long, so yeah, that's a huge worry. That is a huge, huge worry because, again, confidence. Yeah, you know, it's not necessarily just about form; it's about confidence. If you don't have confidence and you go into these high pressure games, yeah, what do you think going into them? You're just going to be hoping to avoid defeat. Yeah. That's not what you want to do.
Yeah, well, that's it, isn't it? They do need just 1 point on the final day to pretty much confirm their playoff place. But the way they're playing right now, it's entirely plausible that they don't get a point because they are just so far off the standards they've set themselves this season, aren't they? Particularly at the back, they're giving away so many chances now when they were one of the most solid sides in the division for the most part this season. So, will they get into the playoffs? I mean, they should do, even with their poor form. But the thing is, even if they get there, do you really think they're going to win them with the way they've been playing recently? It's very difficult to see that right now. Because it's all well and good getting into the top six, isn't it, Justin? You've actually got to go the extra yards after that to actually get promoted.
Exactly.
So, yeah, it's a weird time for West Brom, but it's not looking good in terms of their promotion hopes. Plymouth Argyle find themselves right in the crosshairs of Birmingham City on the final day. It's after they lost 1-0 away at Millwall. Ollie's three-word review for Plymouth: we are fucked. Alfie says, we're going down. It was 0-0 until the 84th minute. And then if Plymouth had held on, Justin, they would have been in a great position on the final day. It would have meant a draw would more than likely have been enough. Now they need to beat Hull on the final day to make sure, or at least cross all their fingers and toes and hope that Birmingham don't win. I think it's going to be one of those Saturdays, Justin, where Plymouth fans are spending a lot of time looking at their phone.
Yeah, barely watching the game. It's such a bizarre goal to concede as well, the Jake Cooper looping header. It was slow motion almost. And I think with that, you almost feel like your grip on the championship slipping a little bit. So you are absolutely right. Yeah, Plymouth fans are going to be gripped to their phones. It's going to be a remarkable day at Highland Park. And again, it's a high pressure game. And again, how often have they been involved in those? Because they got promoted with relative ease last season in League One. So it's going to be an interesting one for a young side to be able to cope with that pressure. Whereas, you know, Birmingham got a lot of old heads. Gary Rowett in charge as well. Old Wiley head at championship level at Birmingham. So, yeah, this final day is going to be tasty. I can tell you that.
Yeah, it's going to be a nervy one, isn't it? I mean, in Plymouth's defence, home is where the heart is for them, isn't it? Because they've been pretty hopeless away from home all season, but they've been good at home. And I mean, a good example of that is their last home game. They beat Leicester, for crying out loud. So, you know, that's what they can do at home park. So they need to make the most of home advantage next Saturday. But at the same time, Hull have plenty to fight for still. In fact, it's essentially the only game next Saturday where both teams still have plenty on the line. I mean, there's Birmingham and Norwich, but Norwich are essentially there in the playoff race. Ipswich, Huddersfield. Huddersfield are all but down. There is Leicester v Blackburn, actually, but, you know, Leicester, they could still win the title, but you'd say there's more at stake at home park next Saturday. So, yeah, it's going to be a nervy one on both sides, isn't it, in that game? Because they both desperately need to win. And, it may just end up, you know, cancelling each other out. The final game we'll discuss is a big but also surprising result for Stoke City. They won 1-0 away at Southampton. Three-word review here from Barkus. Where's this been? Very good question. Where has this been? Stoke, a brilliant result on their behalf, and they are now officially safe, so well done to them. But this loss for Southampton now means they've lost three on the bounce. It's the first time they've lost three on the bounce since that disaster run back in September. And look, Justin, we're 2 weeks away from the playoff starting. No one is in form. If it's going to be Leeds, then we all know how they've been doing recently. But then Southampton have lost three in a row. West Brom have lost three in a row. Norwich aren't playing poorly, but even they've only won 1 in 4. So what is happening to these teams? I don't think we've ever seen anything like it, have we?
Norwich, a form team, having won once in their last four. It's incredible, isn't it? Well, this is what I mean. This is the incredible thing about, you know, if Hull get into the top six on the final day, they've got the momentum. And now all of a sudden you'd be fancying Hull, but they just got to get there. Because as I say, if Hull do get into that top six, I would be looking at them going, ooh, you know what? I like that. I like those odds. I like those odds. Because as you say, none of the teams, even Ipswich, if they don't overtake Leeds, they're not in their best, they're not best nick either. It's incredible. It's incredible for all the teams in there to be in this position. As I say, Southampton have lost their arses at the wrong time. Because this is a time where you've got to tighten up a little bit and you know, deal with the blows that you're going to get, and they're not. And there's, say, to lose to Stoke, away at Stoke as well. And again, it's no disrespect to teams like this, but teams that are chasing promotion playoff, you need to be getting into form. You need to be beating teams that are below the top six, because it's where you really test your resolve. And if you're not, then that's where question marks do start to arise.
Yeah. But you're absolutely right about Hull, Justin. If they do manage to squeeze into the playoffs, they will be the form team. So it could go from looking like Hull had a very, very tiny chance of getting into the playoffs to possibly being the form team heading into the playoffs. It's absolutely mad.
The example I'm thinking of is Blackpool under Ian Holloway. They snuck into the playoffs on the final day of the season. I think it was on goal difference. I can't remember exactly what it was. They beat Forest, who were third, who were knocking on the door of the automatics, and then they go and win the playoff final. It happens. It happens. The teams that come into sixth with the momentum can do it. And this is why form and confidence is so important heading into the playoffs, as we alluded to in our preview episode. It is. Ooh, it's playoff season coming up. I'm getting excited.
You're absolutely right, because if my memory serves me correctly, I can't think of too many teams who have snuck into the playoffs in recent years at the last moment and gone on to win them by, you know, finishing sixth. But if Hull do it, they would have a genuinely good chance. And we were talking in midweek about the importance of form heading into the playoffs. In recent years, the form team has usually gone on to win it. So I don't know what happens if none of them are in form. It's absolutely mental. And right now, I would not be able to call the playoffs at all. If I had to guess, I would probably say whoever finishes third, just purely on the fact that they are the best team in there. But I mean, if it's Leeds, I wouldn't be saying that with much confidence after that shambolic performance against QPR on Friday night. So, look, it's well up for grabs. It's potentially the most open playoffs we've ever had, which is pretty wild, particularly when there could be a 20-point difference between third and sixth. But, hey, it sums up this mad season, doesn't it? One final word on Southampton. They did a lap of appreciation after this game. The problem was there wasn't many fans who hung around for the players to show appreciation to. So the players were going around the pitch and essentially clapping a few thousand fans. It was very, very funny, Justin.
Very awkward. I mean, to give them some credit, they do have a home game left in the playoffs, certainly. So there is that. So let's not laugh at the lap of unappreciation too much, shall we?
No, I'm going to laugh because it was very funny. Justin, let's do the polls. This is the part of the show where we give the listeners three questions on Twitter because we want their thoughts on everything to do with the Championship. So the first question we asked was this. How do you think Leicester will do in the Premier League? Mid-table or above? Avoid relegation? Relegation, bottom of the table?
If they get rid of Maresca in September, I think they'll finish just above the relegation zone.
He's bringing out the guns for Enzo Maresca. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, I'd probably say relegation. I just don't think it's... the omens aren't very good at this stage. 42% said avoid relegation. 42% said relegation. Wow. Crikey O'Reilly.
That's a heavy, heavy swing.
Yeah, absolutely. 8% said mid-table or above. 8% said bottom of the table. So, bloody split. Next question we asked was this. Who is going to go down with Huddersfield and Rotherham? Birmingham, Blackburn, Plymouth, Sheffield, Wednesday.
I'd say Plymouth, just mainly because they've got to play Hull. But Birmingham and Norwich, Norwich playing Norwich is a tough one for Birmingham. But if Tom Wagner's there, G'ing up the supporters, who knows what can happen.
Yeah. So this is our house.
This is our house. I'm going to say Plymouth.
I think I might agree with you, Justin. I think it might be Plymouth, just because I think Birmingham have got a good chance of getting a result against Norwich on the final day, considering what we were talking about a minute ago with their home and away form. But it's bloody hard to call. If you had to push me for an answer, I probably would say Plymouth. 58% of people said Birmingham. 31% said Plymouth. 6% said Blackburn. 5% said Sheffield Wednesday. I tell you what, don't think Blackburn are completely out of the equation here, because they're playing Leicester on the final day, aren't they? So you never know. And then the final question we asked was this. Is it cool to listen to Taylor Swift? Yes, no, no opinion.
I don't really have an opinion. I think it's cooler to listen to her early stuff than her newer stuff.
I think it's the other way around, isn't it, Justin? She's a global icon now.
The bangers of the love story.
You listen to her latest that album? One.
Yes, I have.
Have you actually?
I love it. No, I haven't.
Oh. It's good. It's really, really good. Bit long. 31 songs for an album is excessive. But it's top quality stuff. Honestly, give it a listen, mate. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. 47% of our listeners said, no, it's not cool to listen to Taylor Swift. Yeah. 27% said they had no opinion. 26% said yes. I respect the 26% there. Now it's time for this.
Hi, Simon, Grace and Ed.
Yes, you better believe it. It's bloody time for Simon Grayson's Hateful Eight. So I'm going to ask Justin to name eight of a certain subject. All he's got to do is name all eight. So, for example, if I would say name Steve Bruce's last eight clubs and he would say Villa, that's one down. Then Newcastle, that's another down. But if Justin were to then say Weymouth, he would lose a life. So all he needs to do is give me all eight answers without losing all of his lives. And you can get involved in the fun by sending in your Hateful Eights for either Justin or I to answer. Send them into secondtierpod@gmail.com and you could get a shout out the next time we do a Hateful Eight, and that is exactly what Tom Rushton is getting. He is provided the question today. He fired this one in on Friday night, actually, after the Leeds game. Make of that what you will. He says, hi lads, so it probably looks like Leeds are going to be finishing third now, so could you do a Hateful Eight of the last eight teams to finish third in the Championship? It's a great shout, Tom, and that's exactly what we're going to do here. So, Justin, can you name for me the last eight teams to finish third in the Championship? As usual, anyone who's done it more than once in that time only counts as one answer. So who are you going for first, big boy? I'm going to give you three lives, by the way.
Simon's going to give me three lives. You lie.
Simon is, yes.
Yeah. Remember, Simon creates these.
Yes, he is the deity who decides how many lives you're going to get. Justin, what's your first answer?
I don't know. This is a one where you've got to think a lot, because if you think about the playoff teams, the teams in the playoffs, then That's what gets you the answer. So who got into the final last year? Can't even remember. I can't even remember who got
Good start.
It was Luton and Coventry. So I'm going to go with Luton finishing third.
They absolutely did. They finished third last season, went on to get promoted via the playoffs. You're absolutely right, Justin. So that is one down, seven to go.
Cool. So what happened the season before? Who got into the playoffs the season before last? It was Luton. Oh, shit. I don't know.
Oh, dear.
Simon and Tom are having me pants down.
How about you just throw out a team? Oh, that'd be a good idea.
No.
Okay. You got three lives, so for just throw out a team, mate.
My mind's gone blank, completely blank.
Oh, dear. He's frozen.
Yeah.
Tom, you've done it.
It was Forest.
Forest did get to the playoff final, but they didn't finish third that season. They actually finished fourth. So that's one life down for Justin Peach already.
I thought they were good for the autos. And they didn't even. So Bournemouth went up automatically that year. Huddersfield finished third.
Huddersfield finished third, mate. They absolutely did. They finished third two seasons ago and 24 months later are on their way to League One. But that is another answer down for Justin Peach. You've got six to go. Maybe don't Brentford. Do it in order, otherwise we'll
Brentford.
Be here all day.
Brentford. I'm getting time back for when I inevitably take long to guess another. Brentford.
Fine. Brentford is correct. They did it in 2021 with 87 points, one of the biggest ever points tallies for a side who didn't get automatically promoted. They also did it the season before, but they only count as one answer here. So that's three down, Justin. Five to go.
See, Fulham finished fourth under Scott Parker because he's fucking useless. But I think they finished third under Slavisa Jokanović.
They did. Fulham's Slavisa Jokanović finished third. No, Slavisa Jokanović's Fulham finished third in 2018 with a mammoth tally of 88, the second biggest points tally for a side who didn't get automatically promoted. So that is correct. You're halfway there, Justin.
So that was the season Derby got into the playoffs under Gary Rowett, but they got into the playoffs under Frank Lampard as well, where he butchered a good footballing side. And Leeds finished third that season because they bottled it under Bielsa.
They did. They collapsed late on and vowed never to collapse again in the face of promotion. That is correct, Justin. You've got three to go in this one, and it's the three least recent ones.
The three least recent ones. How far back are we going?
2017, 2016, 2015.
2015. So it was the 14-15 season. Brentford finished fourth. Wednesday got into playoffs that season. Middlesbrough.
Middlesbrough's incorrect, I'm afraid, Justin. Oh. It wasn't Middlesbrough. They did get to the playoff final, but they didn't finish third that season. That means you've got one life remaining, three answers to go.
So Brentford played Borough that season. Wednesday played Hull.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid Justin Peach has fallen foul to Simon Grayson Tate for late. He was so confident. Oh, dearie me. Justin, what happened there? You sounded so confident then, but it just wasn't correct. The teams you were looking for, Norwich. In 2017, it was Jaap Stam's Reading.
Oh, finished. I was never going to get that. That was
a difficult one, to be fair. Then in 2016, it was Brighton. Who finished third, got 89 points, which is the record points tally for a side who didn't get automatically promoted, although that's set to be beaten this season now. And then the team who finished third in 2015, Norwich City.
Yeah.
Alex Neil got them to the playoff final, which they won. Justin, how do you feel?
I think my strategy of going through the playoffs was the wrong one.
Yeah, I think you got a bit tangled there, didn't you, between 2015 and 2016.
I was going to say, I fused together several different playoff campaigns then, completely tripped up.
Oh, dearie me. So Justin Peach has fallen foul to Simon Grayson's Hateful Eight, but this has been the second tier podcast. This has been the penultimate game week of the Championship season, ladies and gentlemen. And as a bit of a different change of pace, we're actually going to be releasing our next episode on Wednesday. So that's so we can react as soon as possible to the Ipswich game on Tuesday night, which may potentially leave Ipswich just one point away from automatic promotion. Alternatively, Leeds United maybe having their eyes wide open once again. All will be told on Wednesday. So we'll see you then for that, ladies and gentlemen. But this has been the Second Tier Podcast. I have been Ryan Dilks.
I have been Justin Peach.
And a big thank you for listening.
Second Tier is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.